Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of stories. Fathers not talking to their sons. Sons not talking to their fathers. Daughters not talking to their mothers. Believers not talking to their God. There's silence. And there's actually a research that has been done also that only 26% of those so-called Christians are talking to God daily in prayer. That's pretty low. And it's good for us to check ourselves when it comes to our prayer life in a relationship to our Abba, Father. Sometimes there are certain circumstances that needs to happen before we kind of call on His name, right? And sometimes it's so heightened, the circumstance is so heightened that our prayer is really reaching that point of earnestness. I'm guilty of that. We are all guilty of that. Welcome to the human race. But we need to learn. We need to grow. I remember when Kaylee was about 11 or 12 years old, we went to SeaWorld San Antonio, and we are about to ride this steel eel hyper coaster. And I remember praying my departure prayer when I was way up there. And I said, "Dear Lord, please remember me and my son when we get into your kingdom." And we survived, thank God. We also had a chance to visit my brother-in-law, Pastor O.J. Guerrero, and Carol in Colorado Springs. And there's this Grand Canyon swing. And Pastor O.J. was telling me, my brother-in-law was telling me, "Would you like to ride that?" And I said, "Well, that's 1,300 feet, just having a view of the canyon." And I said, "I think I'm not ready to do my departure prayer today, so I will just stay in the ground." So sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that is so heightened, and that's the only time we could see the necessity of calling God Almighty. When we talk about prayer, have you ever wondered how many times a Christian pray? Or how many times do you pray a day? If you put that in context, or a week, or a month, or a year. And there's this interesting scripture. It's in Revelation 5:8, and it talks about four living creatures, the 24 elders, and golden bowls of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. God collects my prayer, your prayer, and everybody else's prayer, and puts it and places it in a golden bowl of incense. Wow. No prayer, therefore, passes the attention of God Almighty. All prayers is being collected by Him and placed in those golden bowls. Just a thought here. What if Walmart or Best Buy would be saying, "Okay, there's a 1-800 number over here for the newest, fanciest iPad." Maybe the youths will just rush. Maybe that 1-800 number would clog up because of the youth wanting to have this newest, fanciest iPad, right? Maybe some of the elders too. Why do people give up in prayer? And that's a very interesting thought. Why do we let go of our prayers? And I've heard this before in the hospital. I was talking to a lady, a prostitute that has sold herself through the years, and she's just overwhelmed. And she was telling me, you know, all my prayers, chaplain, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't happen. Whatever may be, there is no God out there that cares for me. So a lot of people have their own reasons why they give up in the posture of prayer. And that brings us to our scripture today, and found in the book of James. Now, James wrote this letter, of course, for the believers. And so this is for us. And the verse starts with chapter number 13 to verse number 18. And it says this way, if you have your Bible, or if you could read that on the screen. It says here, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Verse number 17, "Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop." The first thing I would like to talk about this morning is that prayer, the prayer that we have, is an invitation and a privilege. If anyone of you is in trouble, let him pray. Anybody here doesn't have any problems or trouble? No one's raising their hands? So we're all in trouble. There's this future story for some that is eating us up. I wish this would happen. That would happen. So we all could find ourselves in this place of need. Christ actually said, "In this world you will face tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So our Savior warned us that there would be something coming up in our lives. Actually, when a baby comes out of the mother's womb, the problem starts. He cries. Or she cries, right? Now, in Elijah's time, there was a national problem or trouble. The people have abandoned the Lord. Actually, when you look at 1 Kings chapter 18, you could find over there in the passage of Scripture that captures where the people were. The prophet said, "If God is God, worship Him. If Baal is God, then worship Him." And then the next word says, the people said nothing. So it is a problem. There is a problem from that time and through all the canvas of all humanity. No one is exempt. And I love that scripture that captures that story when Elijah prayed. The fire came down and consumed the offering that has been laid in the altar. And we know the story. That altar has been soaked up by water 3 times. Proving that God is God. Amen? Now, Elijah didn't pray that there would be no rain for 3.5 years so that he could sell Ozarka water and make a profit. The glory of God consumed him in his prayer. The glory of God should consume us in our prayers. It is an invitation from God. And it is a privilege for us. Actually, you could find here in Scripture, 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." He cares for you. He cares for me to the details of what's going on with our lives. No matter what it is, bring it to Him in prayer. Matthew 11, 28, 29, the Lord saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He is inviting us to commune with Him and for us to tell Him our stories. Yes, it is an invitation. It is a privilege. Could you imagine if somebody in the White House would be saying, you know, Donald Trump or the president is asking for your presence for the dinner in this so-and-so place and date and what have you. That would be awesome, right? But think about this. Having an audience with the highest man of the United States compared to the highest King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where you could have an audience with Him. It's a privilege that we should not take light. Amen? So whenever you find yourself in that closet and praying to God, just be joyful even from the get-go that you will be having a chance to be with Him. I remember when we were having our floors at the first time before our floor got wet and destroyed by the water. We had a Muslim company that installed the floor. And there's a particular time that their leader would be saying, okay, could I go to your bathroom so I could wash my face and wash my feet so that I could do my wudu, my prayer? And so they are so earnest in praying their prayers at a particular time. Because if they miss the clock, their prayers doesn't count. They have to be in the clock, on the clock. Right? So after his prayers, here I come, and I anoint my house with oil. whatever is sticking in this house is not welcome. There's only the Holy Ghost that's welcome in this place. So once those demons hear the word of the name of Jesus, they have no choice but to run away, right? Because in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that He is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. Second point over here, besides prayer, is an invitation and a privilege, is true prayer allows God to have His way. Not your way, not my way, but His way. That's why when a person that is sick, the elders are invited to come and anoint the sick with oil, and the prayer that is offered in faith will heal the sick. And if he has sinned or she has sinned, her sins will be forgiven as well. It's such an effective prayer, isn't it? Not just the physical healing, but the spiritual healing of sins and forgiveness of sins. That's powerful. So don't take light what you are doing when you come to God in prayer. True prayer allows God to have His way. The problem of a lot, if not most, of the prayers is that it is mostly about us, not about what God wants. Remember the time when Jesus was in the garden, He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He had a will. Even the Apostle Paul, you know, he was praying for himself, remove this thorn from me. 3 times he has pleaded God. But God answered him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And what was his response? The response of the Apostle Paul said, therefore I would boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, that the power of God may rest on me. Forget about the thorns. Okay, you want to display your glory? Here I am. That the glory of God may be displayed in me. True prayer is a place of crucifixion that allows God to have the upper hand. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. That's the main point. Now, when Elijah prayed that there would be no rain, that's God's perfect will at that time. After 3.5 years, he prayed that there would be rain. That was God's perfect will during that time. It was not Elijah's will. It is God's will trying to redeem and desiring to redeem Israel back to himself. I remember the time when there is this sister from Australia that married somebody over here in the States, and she has been discovered to have a cancer that is so rapidly spreading all over her body. And we have prayed together. We have asked God for miracles. We have done anointing of the oil. And, you know, but God's will was not for her to stay. There was faith there. We were convinced that we were asking. And we were convinced that God is hearing. And when she passed, brothers and sisters, her Bible, the book of Psalms, was riveted with her own writings and prayers that, though I walk through the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. She had prayed the will of God over herself. And even though faith was there, and our expectation for her to stay, God's will prevailed. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. True prayer allows God to have his way. The agenda is not our agenda, his agenda. Young people, when you pray, "Oh Lord, thy will be done, but give me John." Or, "Thy will be done, but give me Anne." Learn, it is God's will that will prevail. You could just say, "Lord, thy will be done, period." That's where you start. Amen? Another point here in our passage of Scripture. I just love the story of Elijah, but the third part is prayer ties up the hands of our enemies. Prayer ties up the hands of our enemies. Do you remember the time when there were 20 Coptic Christians that were working in Libya, and they were paraded in the sea with orange clothes, the prisoners? One of those prisoners was not Coptic, was not a Coptic Christian. He is from Chad, and he has dark-colored skin. He was a dark-colored skin individual. And this information came from the Billy Graham organization. And they said that, the report said, that this person from Chad have witnessed how these Coptic Christians were praying. The life, the faith, the love of these brothers of ours that are now in heaven. And he was asked, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "No, I am not a Christian. But from now on, their God is my God. Their Lord is my Lord. And your God, the ISIS God, is not my God." Sealing his fate of death. Could you imagine? It was just easy for this person from Chad to say, yes, I'm not a Christian. You know, I want to go back to my wife, my family, and what have you. There is a witness in the realm of prayer, brothers and sisters, that is so far, far beyond our comprehension, the power of God that's taking place in that time of prayer. Families, wives, sons, daughters, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, in Egypt, were lifting up their prayers to God at that time. And the power of God saturated these 20 men plus this person in Chad, that even him got overwhelmed and he could face death to the face and say, you have no sting on me. There is power in the prayer and in the place of prayer. It ties up the hands of the enemy. There were many different types of executions of Christians and martyrs during the time of Nero. They were executed as common criminals by crucifixion, or they call this damnatu ad bestia, which is thrown to the wild beast. Nero introduced a twilight execution where hapless Christians were nailed to a cross and burned alive as torch to the light, to light up the arena of the Colosseum. Prayer was able to sustain these brothers and sisters of ours. They were prayerful. For you to survive this kind of cruelty, prayer has to be there. Prayer ties up the hands of the enemy. The Christian life is a life of conflict. Prayer is the power that can take you through the battle. Going back to the story of Elijah here, and the story we could read in 1 Kings 18:36, at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer, O God, so that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God. Either through death or life, prayer is the power behind the victory. You feel like praying now? Prayer is the power behind every victory that we have. When you think about it, all of us have been a product of prayer. All of us. Our story now, what we're doing now, what we value now, somebody was behind praying for you somewhere. Amen? The fourth part here is prayer should be coupled up by praise and thanksgiving. When I was reading this scripture, this part of scripture over here, that are you in trouble? Then pray. Then it says there, if you're happy, then sing songs of praise. You know, we're talking about trouble, and then we're talking about songs of praise, and you know, songs of praise. And then if anyone of you is sick, why is it that praise or thanksgiving has been placed in the middle of the whole story? Because thanksgiving is such an important part of prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says there, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving in the midst of prayer and petitions. So, when I was pondering this, I said, why is that in the middle of the whole thing? It hinges, thanksgiving or happy heart also is hinged on our knowledge of who God is. That He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. So that would make you happy, even when you're asking. Right? It is our knowledge that God's thoughts and ways are far better than our thoughts and our ways. So who cares about our thoughts at times and our ways at times, as long as we know that God's way and God's thoughts is taking place. Amen? You know, no one, we don't want Alex to be asking for a Ferrari at this time, right? Maybe he deserves a Ferrari down the road. But, you know, as a dad, you won't give things that are not supposed to be given at this time. Maybe later on. It's the same with God. So we could be in that posture of being happy and thankful and singing praises to God because He is in charge. Amen? There is this song that touches my heart whenever I hear it driving to work, titled "Trust in You." This has made me to put me to tears many times inside my car. By Lauren Daigle. It says here, "Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at Your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what You see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need Your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, You're by my side. When You don't move the mountains, I'm needing You to move. When You don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When You don't give the answers as I cry out to You, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in You." He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear our songs, our praise. I have this thing every time I leave work at 5, around 5:10 or 5:15, I'll be calling my mother. And we will be talking about how good God is in our life journey. And, you know, we sing songs sometimes in, my car is capable of picking up my calls, so I'm not driving with cell phone or texting. I'm not illegal, right? But those moments are precious because we go into prayer also, lifting up our concerns. And I told Mom, I said, "Mom, you know, the reason why you're not in heaven yet? The reason you're not in heaven yet is because the foundation of your prayers and blessings for the clan has brought us into where we are in God's will. We need you down here to lift up those prayers in behalf of your children, grandchildren, our families, our church." And so I echo what the scripture is saying. The prayer of a righteous woman, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Agree with it in your spirit that the prayers that you have uttered before God Almighty is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. He is capable of doing that. He is capable of saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Queen Esther, you and me in the circumstances of our lives. He is God. I am entering a new phase in my life. We are all getting old, aren't we? Somebody said, "Hey, Chaplain Elvin, you'll be an empty nester because your kids are flying all over the place already. They're getting out." And I'm thinking in my heart, "Yes, Lord. I have grown into the person you want me to be because of prayers. And I pray for my family that's getting out of this household right now, that the same zeal and the same value that they have in connecting with you, in calling you, in singing to you, in praising you in prayer, let it happen, Lord. Let it happen, Lord." I hope, brothers and sisters, this would steer you into a place of valuing your time with God in prayer. If he said, if you want to pray to God Almighty, go and find your inner place, a closet, lock yourself, be with him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glories, and he will answer you. He will answer me. Why I call the praise team to sing our songs over here. I would like to pause this question as an end. There is something inside the heart of God Almighty that is specifically for you. I would repeat that. There is something inside the heart of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth and the universe, that is specifically for you. Now, it is your responsibility and it is my responsibility to invite that specific thing for me. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." May you invite that plan to happen in your life. May you invite that plan to happen to the life of your spouse, the life of your children, or the life of where you work. May you do that with praise and thanksgiving. Be happy in your heart. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but graciously given him to us, how would he, along with his son, graciously give us all things?" Who is the son? "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He did not spare his son to save you, to save me. How much more the little itty-bitty things that we care for. His son is incomparable." Go to the posture of prayer and he will answer you. Amen.